coming to our meeting tonight. The first thing we need to do is do a roll call for attendance.
This is Blair.
Here.
This is Simon.
Here.
This is Douglas. This is Irving.
Here. Item number one is the approval of minutes. These are the minutes from the October 18th meeting.
I move that they be approved.
Okay, got a motion by Director Simon and a second by Director Mendoza. Directors in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Nobody is opposed. Passing down to the Director Kirby accepts at the current time. Item number two is the public comments period. If there's anything out there that you'd like to speak about, please limit your presentation to 3 minutes if you can. These are for items that are not on the agenda tonight. Any questions or concerns? Going once? Okay. Public comments? There are none. Item number three is Port Administration. This is regarding first item under Board Administration is District Water Supply. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, at the last board meeting, your honorable board reviewed options of emergency turnout and alternate water supply for the district, and in reviewing that, possibly having a turnout, eventual turnout in the Coastal Branch Aqueduct or pipeline coming through the district. As most of you are aware, the pipeline is right now being constructed between here and Aurora Grandy, and moving this direction quite exclusively. And you've also received a legal counsel review of the history of the state water project and the past elections that the district had on this matter. It was suggested that possibly having an advisory election, possibly a ballot measure, indicating that should the district acquire some form of a turnout in the pipeline for emergency water supply and some form of supplemental non-state water supply. And if you wish to proceed in this matter, which could be put on a mail ballot vote. There are approximately 3,600 registered voters within the district, and a mail voting would cost approximately $7,500 and take 3 to 4 months to complete. If you wish to proceed in this matter, you can direct staff accordingly. I'll just point out that what we're trying to do here, or possibly doing, is just putting a valve in the pipeline, not a so-called full turnout. This would be a valve put on as the line is being built or as it goes by before it's filled up with water. At some time later, if the district wanted water out, they'd have to come back and construct the full turnout, which includes telemetry and a whole bunch of other things, which would be substantially more costly than just installing a valve and drilling it.
But you could go ahead at that point and build the vault and all that thing without disturbing the pipe, and then when you're ready to hook in, you use the outlet valve.
That's right.
Accomplish that.
Is that amount $7,500? That's approximately $2 a vote. Is that kind of a standard figure?
That's what we got a quote from Sequoia Pacific System. The next page is their breakdown of what a big ballot measure would cost.
Well, that's the firm we've used in the past. I see their name pop up on rentals of election booths in Dallas and all that.
Yeah, they're familiar with the district and have provided a service for the district in the past.
Probably doesn't be good to shop around a whole lot. This is probably a very specific talent and service they offer.
Does the speaker have this before then the general election in November?
I think they, again, I wasn't here in the election. I think that they, probably when the district was not in a consolidated election with a general election, they probably performed the services for the district.
So what I'm saying is if you waited to the general election, then you wouldn't have to have all these people. We could just put it on like
that. Yes, you could. There'd be some cost with it, but
not this much.
Right.
Yeah, that would be November 96th.
Okay, November.
That'd be probably too late to get it in there before they charge the price.
I don't know what the schedule is, but it's probably getting close.
And we established at the last meeting that the March 96th primary is... too late for us to get in on that.
Yeah.
Was there some public meetings before we, you know, schedule a couple of public meetings so we let the public know, you know, what our intentions are, and that this is not state water, it's supplemental water. It's actually a big fire plug for their benefit.
Well, actually, what would happen right now is a device would be installed or constructed in the line, and a blind flange put on it, and no water would be taken out of it.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to negotiate with CCWA and probably the Flood Control District for wheeling water through the pipeline to get water here. Whether that would be successful or not is another question.
Well, like I said before, that thing in Tasmania, I'd feel very a lot more comfortable if we had some kind of emergency turnout just in case that thing did get into the groundwater and it happened to go towards Tacoma instead of like towards Los Angeles, how everybody thinks it's going for. Can you possibly add some words? I know you've got some proposed wording here, but something of the nature that you mentioned changing turnout to outlet because it's not a turnout at this point, but an outlet valve on the Coastal Branch Pipeline for emergency water services or emergency water use or as a future conduit of other supplemental water. I mean, something a little more discreet. Is that generally bad on an election, or is that a good thing to do? I mean, you get lost when you add too much specific wording.
Well, I think it's kind of a policy issue, but I think the more specific you are, the more likely it is that the voters are going to understand what you're trying to get at. Yeah. Fast could come back with some alternate language. The way I understand it, we're not really in a rush to get this on. We can come back with three or four choices the next meeting if we wanted to, and hash over the pros and cons of different language.
If we do our own mailing ballot, then there's no real time consequences here to be concerned about at this point. We have to make sure that we do have several of these meetings that Director Blair alluded to, and try to do our best to spread that. Yes?
I'm John Snyder. I was wondering if you would consider possibly a petition as opposed to a...
I could respond to that.
Yes.
There is no answer to that because what we are trying to do is fortify our appeal to the County Flood Control District to put an outlet valve on the state water pipeline. As you may recall, they've refused us in the past, and the reasoning that we gathered that we're getting from our County Flood Control District is that a vote against state water that occurred previously included any type of turnout on the state water pipeline. And so what we need to do is figure out a method that will fortify our position that the residents may approve some type of outlet as long as it wasn't directly involved with state water. So it's very difficult for us to second guess what the County Board of Supervisors, i.e. the Flood Control District, is going to do outside of a popular vote.
Now, petition, though, more specifically about the petition versus the mailing ballot, would require, we're looking for a majority of signatures on 3,600.
But
you can't pay him for the signature. That's where we draw the line.
If you're paying $2 to vote on what you have.
Right. Yeah, that's about what it would cost for a private man, a ballot of one issue.
A citizen has one
type. Yeah. There's cost savings there.
I think, you know, it's best goes to some form of a selection. Community support would be very important in this aspect from all organizations.
A speaker at one of those meetings might be a CDF representative to talk about the emergency. I've seen a letter written by.
Yeah, we have a letter on file that CDF is supporting the emergency.
Right. And that might be something to pursue further as well.
They're all for it, because I talked to him before I was elected to the board. In fact, I talked to him the day after the county board of supervisors turned it down. And they did it the day the fire department was all in Los Angeles, so they couldn't respond at the hearing.
Yeah, I mean, other groups in the community, the Chamber of Commerce, NAG, the network, maybe, you know, recreation groups, ag groups, music companies, whatever. It would, you know, not only affect the district, it would affect the whole Mesa since they're bringing water into the basin.
Right.
Not a private water company.
I have a question to that.
Yeah.
State your name.
Oh, excuse me. Hi. My name is Mark Moore. The question I have is, has anyone had an opportunity to talk to Supervisor Brackett yet? My experience with this issue with the Como Valley Mutual Water Company is we needed to have the supervisor support before we went even into the meeting to have a sponsor, so to speak, and this is the Supervisor Brackett area. I would think the first thing out of the box would be to contact her and try to get her support and somebody to represent her from her office. You know, something like that to get the ball rolling, and then I think we might see some money support from Supervisor Obit and also maybe even Delaney. Those are the ones that support our efforts to get turnout from the agricultural side. And knowing and hearing the test or the conversation that Supervisor Brackett had before we were over at the school, I think she was the first hearing this was talked about when we were talking earlier about groundwater management plan that she hadn't been consulted already. She's a good ally, and we don't want to, if we're not doing it already, I think it's a good idea to kind of talk to her so we really need to help.
Well, yeah, the last time this went through, she supported, and we contacted her beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Supervisor Obit did as well.
Yeah, Obit did too.
Well, Supervisor
Delaney, we don't know if it's kind of questionable.
Supervisor Brackett was the one that brought the motion up that got denied, and Supervisor Obit seconded it. But Delaney and the other two voted against it. So, I mean, she's well aware of it. She brought it up in front of the County Board of Supervisors, and the other three shot it down.
Well, I'm talking more about this effort right now.
Right.
So now you're in a whole new duck. Well, 2-3 years ago, this is a whole different thing, and I think that's what you're going to have to do right now with those folks if you want to get a turnout without the good supervisors. It's going to be a new issue, whatever the election comes out to. If you can approach one of the screen books, which will probably be the supervisor there, the supervisor is the aim.
Just
an observation of
that experience. Yeah, they've been allies in the past, and those two in particular. And they'll definitely use their influences, hopefully. And kind of had to get Supervisor Brackett to come to one or more of our meetings and speak to help spread the word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good suggestion. Yeah, and a petition for public support as well might help out.
I think she was advised but didn't find the time to speak to anybody about it. I, for one, talked to her. And she knew a little about it from me based on my limited knowledge at the time. And I didn't see a lot of interest there. I saw the interest at a later time, of course, as we all did.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's incumbent, you know, upon people who are in elective offices, and certainly the supervisors is one of that, that they have aides, they have people that work for them, they have people that represent them. They can attend these meetings and find out what's going on, and I think they should. Are you running for election? If you decide to do it, let me give you an agenda.
Any other directors have comments on this? Do you have a time frame for when we might schedule our first meeting? How does other board business look between now and, well, we're fast coming up on the holiday season. I don't know if we get busier or slower.
Next meeting's 15th, and we have scheduled there the Boyle report for the groundwater management, master plan.
Right.
And then on December 1st or 3rd, 6th, I scheduled the John Jenks making a report to the board on expansion of the wastewater company.
Right. We also have potential rate study related issues coming up.
That won't be complete on this year.
Okay. We should probably have one of these special meetings maybe on the second or fourth Wednesday in December.
Well, you got all the holidays, if you have a special meeting.
It makes it tough, yeah.
You can have one maybe on the 29th study session.
Yeah, we don't have to establish it right now. It's something we want to give some thought to for the next thing. But maybe pick one date between now and the end of the year, at least have a kickoff type thing. And
The board.
Something dedicated just to this issue.
Seriously. I don't know if it's. It's hard to get a straw vote from the Board of Supervisors, talking to them, saying, well, the district came up with an election saying that the people are forward for some form of a turnout in the pipeline. Would they change their vote? But I don't think they would get an answer.
What about going up and asking in one of the open sessions? That alienated?
Well, I think...
Any public comment for
anything? Yeah.
So not required to give you any response, really.
Well, at least we can make them aware.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
I'm
surprised.
Is that he's definitely going
to your board member be more
active? I would suggest a board member do it. I think not the staff couldn't do it, but I think it's one of those things where a board member is going to be listened to a little bit more than a staff member.
Couldn't the staff or board member approach it? People now, like
sure.
Supervisor Bragg
in particular,
it was policy for her.
I talked to her last Tuesday.
So one of the things I guess you could do, this is just, it's not really legal analysis, but direct staff to write them a letter of inquiry.
Just
saying,
we're thinking about doing this, but these
and let them know. That based on our observations, we feel this should, based on our observations of our prior, the prior supervisors being rejecting our request for a turnout, that on the basis of the prior vote on state water, if the residents, we believe that the residents will support this, and we're going to go to a vote, and we expect to the effect that, if the vote comes out positive, that you would unequivocally allow us to have a turnout or a valve or something on there to see what type of reaction we get. Just a suggestion.
What about asking the difference between a petition and a vote? If there were so many people on a petition or not?
You're second guessing the County Flood Control District. The problem with a petition, generally speaking, is that it's difficult to verify the signatures. You know what I'm saying? If you can, let's just say that there's 3,500 people here, and you get 1,800 people. How do you ascertain even ourselves whether or not they're really in district, out of district, and how much staff time are you going to spend trying to verify where those signatures come from? It may cost you well in excess of $2 a signature just to try and validate the petition. Where a vote is pretty much self-proving that they are the residents of the district.
How do you feel out there? Any more questions or comments out there?
Yeah, that's okay. What's to prevent the opposition from allowing you to say that you've been running ahead of the signatures for this petition? they can have an opposition petition against you too. So I mean, if you find out that you're going to petition, you might go the opposite way, and there's a lot of people out there.
Sure, and the two petitions have like 6,000 votes.
There's something wrong here somewhere. So you have to look at that too. That petition, I don't think is the way to go. But, you know, there's people will sign anything when they see petitions. I've seen that happen, especially with the rogue thing. People, they just third party, they just sign it. They have no interest, but they sign anyhow.
Of course, these would be just people within the boundaries.
And how would you know? How would they have to identify those people? Within the district.
There's some significant staff time involved in just verifying
that.
I would
say that I'm in the district, and they find out they're with Cal City.
Right. Yes, Mr. Moore.
Yeah, Mark Moore again. Again, you're speaking from past experience with the board, and knowing that the difficulties that the district has had in the past with trying to acquire state water, and although this is just getting a turnout at this time for emergency purposes, I think that unless you have some type of election, that the board is going to, the members of the board that are going to be extremely skeptical, of anything you do unless you have some type of binding or some type of a vote with everybody from the district. And I don't think the district is going to accept it with them. And I think that you'll spend a lot of money and have to go right back to some type of a ballot issue. The other thing, again, is some past experience with what we've done to obtain a turnout. We didn't get a meeting with every supervisor, but we requested a meeting with every supervisor before our turn came up to present our issues before the entire board. And we had a lot of public comments while we were at the board, but we were able to have meetings with Supervisor Ovid, Supervisor Blaine, and Supervisor Brackett. And we tentatively had all of the people going into it. We were able to get Supervisor Lomax vote as well at that time, but not the Supervisor Blakely. Those two, Moran and Blakely, were quite skeptical of our intent, and I think that those would be the two hardest ones. I think it's a good idea for this to turn up. And, but that's the course of action that we took, and it proved to be successful on our part with lobbying beforehand, with requesting individually with the board from our mutual water company. And I think that that's the only way you'll establish the credibility of one with the vote, two, with as many board members and staff approaching, asking permission to approach each board member individually or conjunctively before a full board meeting. Otherwise, I think if you go up before the board during the public comment period, I don't think that you're going to give your request for recognition that it deserves. I think they're just going to think there's just another end run around us trying to get state water, and they're not going to get seriously.
I agree, and that's been a concern of mine, simply from a standpoint, it's very difficult to make the distinction about what occurred before and what we're trying to do now. You know, it does seem like an end around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an emotional thing as well. You know, it's even if it's black and white, and this is state water, that was state water in 92, and this is not, it's hard to convince everyone of that.
Does the district have a position paper yet outlining what you really want to accomplish with this, and something that as a board and as a district you can kind of stay focused on is what your issues are going to be?
I don't know that if on one piece of paper we have a concise outline of all that. But yeah, those thoughts exist, and I think that might be one of the first things we need to do. Now, I just wrote a couple of bullets down here. If we do talk to Supervisor Brackett, you know, we might want to mention something along the lines of this is not the $50,000 to $75,000 full-fledged turnout and vault and everything like what was being rumored before. This is a less than $5,000 stop valve of some type to allow us an emergency service in the future should we need it. It's not an item two. It's not for state water. And item three, it can be a conduit for non-state water and another supplemental water source sometime in the future. Yeah,
I,
They already have the allocation, 4,000 some acre feet that they're allotting for the San Luis Obispo County. So they know you're not going to get state water, so that excuse is blown. They can't say, well, we know that's all you want that turnout for is for state water. So that's out of the picture now, so they should realize that, that it's not for...
I think we should recognize that there are a lot of new people here now as opposed to when the election took place. And I think a lot of those new people, I know them. I know the people where I live, and there are 700 and some odd voters in the area that I live. And all of them are very interested in seeing how can we get state water? What do we have to do? So I think the affirmative votes are there. I don't
know. Not state water.
I beg your pardon, state water.
Yeah, well, supplemental water.
Yeah, well, it'll be supplemental water, but they see the state water pipeline going through, and they are saying, why are we not part of that? That's ridiculous. What's happened here?
I have
one
more input on this. Has anybody had a chance to talk with Mr. Americani, who represents PCWA, as to the potential or possibility that the district so happens to be a blind flange located someplace in the district that at some future date could be hooked up to, and you only have to go through this hassle with the county or anyone else, that at such time as you do need that hooked up, that you can install the vault and you don't have to hop past the pipe?
There are four inspection ports right on Thompson Avenue within the district boundary. And there are 2-foot diameter ports, and the object is modify one of those blind flanges with a valve, basically a pump and a valve, and put a blind flange on the valve and bury it.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore you have established an outlet to the pipeline. And then if water could be bound and a full-blown turnout would be made at that time, and there's substantially additional cost of making that through a regular turnout. But you would have a device on the pipeline which you would not have to hop past it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some economic savings of putting it now and then later when the pipe is loaded.
I don't know. Perhaps he's the outlet, I think, with
PCWA
to talk to.
We can contact with Bill Brandon.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, who knows what they're doing on that pipeline. Sometimes they may just be putting a turnout here because they think down the road that something like this may occur, and they don't want to have to go through the hassle of a hot tub.
Be nice.
They foresee that.
Go to the pest control issue.
Right.
Let's see that there again. There's this suspicion that you're being shady about it. I think it's much better to be upfront about it and have a vote. And for one thing, it would give us information we don't have now. How does the district resident, how do they feel about this? And we get a true reading of it. We keep saying that it makes good sense to have it, but
Yeah, if there's a positive vote and then there's an interest in the community of having emergency turnout and possibly supplemental water. If it's a negative vote and then that possible area of water supply is gone, I'm curious.
That makes it easy.
Yeah, it basically defines your decision.
It feels, I have, maybe. My current feelings are on, like, if we have a vote, I like binding votes because why have the vote if you're going to be able to do what you want anyway? You know, I like to pulse the community and stuff, but I do feel that at this point, unless we are extremely successful in making a distinction between what happened in 92 and what we're asking for now, we'll need a binding vote of some type to have the leverage at the county level for them to be convinced of what we're trying to do. Because I think there's certain supervisors in place up there now that will not be receptive to this this avenue, this strategy. That's my feeling on it. I threw that at point.
Well, you know, if you have a binding vote and it's a positive one, the cost factor comes in, which is at the present time unclear. And then because of the binding vote, it means that the district will have to proceed on it no matter what the situation is. And that's why I suggest a more of an advisory vote, because if you run across something that is unseen, you can readjust it to a certain extent. A final vote, you have to plow forward.
Yeah. This rate structure thing that's coming up, too. I think the water payers ought to be made aware of the fact that if we run out of water or run short of water, basically probably what will happen, what happened in San Luis, the water, amount of water that gets going to go down and the rates are going to go up. And I think that they were scared by outside people the last time that their water rates were going to go up. If this pipe came in, that thing, I think it would be their advantage if we have some sort of supplemental water. If we run out of water, I can't see how their rates are going to go up if we get supplemental water right in our backyard without, you know, maybe go to Santa Barbara or someplace ridiculous.
Well, any water coming out of the pipeline is not going to be inexpensive.
No.
And so you're,
but a desal plant, a lot of these people for desal plants, and all these desal plants, everybody that's got a desal plant has got the highest water in the county. And the other thing is energy is a variable. And right now, energy is cheap, and there's no guarantee 20 years down the road that energy is going to stay cheap. It's a variable that you, it's like a, you know, you're just playing with a variable that you don't know what's going to happen down the road. But with that pipeline, at least the cost should be consistent over a long period of time.
Now, there's been major discussion about water supply and cost, and it's very expensive. I was at one meeting, someone said, you think this water is expensive now? What do you think water, how expensive it would be without water? If there's any really, it's a major expense. Economics and everything else.
Do you think that between now and November 15th, you might try to contact maybe Supervisor Brackett, maybe just in the form of a letter, just an inquiry at this point, with a couple of bullets outlining our
position,
the emergencies?
Yeah, I'll call her tomorrow.
And then we can take it from there. We can become, she might have some good suggestions, too. She might have some more input on what the current field of the supervisor level is. I don't see that we need to take a whole lot of other action on this tonight. Do you guys think anything we need to consider tonight? Or?
We could come up with maybe some other type of wording.
Something more specific along the lines of making that distinction again, supplemental versus stated.
Okay.
I'd like to see that included in whatever final language we discuss or consider.
Also, the county's into what they call their groundwater, the master water plan they're starting. This could be part of their master water plan. You know, I've asked them at those meetings, where are you going to get water from the pole? Nobody seems to know. Maybe that could be considered in their master plan.
There are general words and general plan updates and whatnot to say the Pomo area population will be,
right, you know, and nobody's looking at what the water is supposed to be.
And a supplemental water supply will be needed for that area, but it doesn't go into it any further than that.
Yeah,
it's easy to say, and it's tough to follow through with.
Right. And he do get some form of a tap into the Pulsa branch. The capacity issue is another thing that has to be addressed or is unknown at this time.
Right.
I mean, even though I'm saying, okay, that the state wanted to give you 50% deliveries, maybe some agencies say, okay, well, I'm going to get additional water someplace and bring it down. Santa Maria has, what's it, 16,000 acre feet of water? And they get cut back to 8,000, and they're only using, say, 4,000 for their community. They'll bring all 8,000 bank or something, so therefore that capacity still may be used up even in a non-allocated year. And then there
is... I thought you were talking about capacity from a physical engineering standpoint.
That's what I'm talking about.
The pipe is scaled such that we can't use it there to transfer water from where it is.
Unless, there's cut back in state water.
All right.
Because of the climate conditions, which they anticipated. therefore there's extra capacity in the line when you're not delivering full entitlements, and therefore you have to find some additional water, non-state water or contract water, which you can run down the pipeline or buy it from somebody else.
Mr. Moore, how much state water did Como Valley ask for and sign up to you?
None. We don't have any state water.
Okay. You just got the turnout?
We just have the turnout. Okay. And
any numbers kicked around, though, informally?
No, I mean, we encompass about 1,500 agricultural acres. And on an average year, because we have such heavy soil, we don't lose a lot of water. We don't use a lot of water for probably just extension out here on this side. So we thought at most, you know, we consume about an acre and a half foot per year over here. So we're probably looking at about a half an acre foot, 750 acres a year. That's what we would like to bring in on a supplemental basis.
Okay. Will that run all operations? That would be just a supplement groundwater pumping, right?
Yes, it'd be both. It'd be a supplement groundwater only for agricultural, non-potable purposes only. We'll have to negotiate with CCWA once they've reached an agreement with the county, because, as you know, they own the pipeline from County Farms on, even though part of that pipeline falls within San Francisco County. Technically, that piece of pipe for CCWA lasts to you. So the only reason you really even have to negotiate with the county is just because the pipes run through the county.
Okay.
You're saying that water, like for agriculture use, is non-potable water. That's what they're concerned for. But the water is actually treated. Is that going to pose any problem for agriculture? Because actually, that's treated potable water.
It is. That's coming. We have to put in our own conveyance system when we hook up to the turnout. If you're putting in a conveyance system to deliver it to all of these different users, you can either put in a system that's designed for potable use or non-potable. And our whole background and basis and everything that we, it's only for agriculture. We all have our own wells. We're eking out as much as we can out of it at this point. So what we really need is a supplemental water for that. And so we never made any bones to it. It's the first time. We're not, it would cost us about twice as much to build a pipeline if we wanted to make it portable and we don't. Because we may actually be using some water from our wells back into the system on a shared type of basis. And once we do that, not all of them have sanitary fields, and they're all coming from different areas. So, you know, there's no way that we can manage that type of a system ourselves.
That you'll have potable water at the source, at the state water project source.
Correct.
That's our point, and then the cost commensurate with that. So.
Sure, yeah, we have to pay whatever we can negotiate out on the market, and we'll have to go to anybody, either an upstream user or a downstream user. But there's going to be issues involved with that, too. If you go with a downstream user, then you don't have to reimburse anybody who's upstream of you. Or downstream of you. If we were to buy from Pismo, there may be a claim from everybody downstream from that, or that I'm not being properly compensated for use of my pipe from Pismo to the Como turnout.
Right.
Whereas if you buy from downstream, you're not having that argument because it's losing. But it really is just going to become a free market type of environment for buying water through the system for supplemental users. And when there's no supplemental water, there is no water. For the next couple of years, it's probably going to be substantial amount of supplemental water, and there may be a good basis for going out and negotiating with some of these downstream users to offset a portion of those fixed costs, because even if they don't use the water, they still have to pay for it because they have an obligation off it.
Talk to Solvent.
Talk to any downstream user.
They're panicking over the cost right now.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to the environmentalists that raise the cost of the pipe.
Okay. Any other further board questions or concerns? Any other public comments on this issue?
Okay, so we just direct staff to talk to Supervisor Brackett and consider when we might want to schedule our first turnout meeting. I want to give that some thought. The holiday schedules are going to be stressed for everybody, though. It might not work in December. We'll see. Let's get on to item number four. This is regarding the repair of water services. Mr. Jones.
Yeah. President, as the board is aware, the district has been replacing the fog building water service lines that have been failing. And today we've replaced approximately 250 of these services. We found out in certain areas, primarily the Thompson Road Estates, where the curbs and gutters are installed and the sidewalks and the meter boxes are poured right in the sidewalk. And it's quite difficult replacing those services with the method we're doing using PVC stipulated pipe. So we think that going the way that Santa Maria did of using copper tubing and pulling it through the TV pipe, and you have to have certain equipment to do this, would be a way of doing it, and therefore in that area and also in Poker Oak, which is similar, they don't have sidewalks, but they have a lot of landscaping around their boxes, is that we'd contract out to a labor contractor, who would supply all the materials, and they would basically install all the ones at these two subdivisions. Until, we get bids back and we're not positive on a cost on this, but it's estimated someplace around $50,000 plus or minus for the total cost of replacing approximately 150 services. That would probably be just the labor contract. We'd have some material costs of over and above that.
How much is the equipment to do it?
I don't know. And besides that, it's just the time frame of our crews getting out there. They're kind of falling back on some of the maintenance that we should be carrying on.
What I'm getting at is eventually all the services are going to go, aren't they? I mean, supposedly that's the general thing, if they're all going to go, why would it maybe cost effective for us to buy the equipment and maybe hire one extra person, a part-time person, and put them in ourselves?
Well, we've kind of done that so far, and it's worked out somewhat useful, but we feel that this would probably be an expedited situation. Every time you get a break out there, it's much more expensive because of the terrain. It's in a hard rock area versus a sand area on the left side.
No, what I was saying is, could we have some figures that show it's like, when the guy brings a bid back in, if it's more cost effective to do it ourselves.
Yeah, I think based on what brief estimates we have, the cost difference is not that great from contracting out versus doing it ourselves.
Okay.
And based, I think that John Murray has had that experience.
Yeah, your memo said that. It's your position then that with the extra labor we have to hire, and any overtime paid to current employees and part-time employees, it might well come up to this value.
Yeah, and
rather than just put a team on that and get the sidewalk and landscaping and all that, get that those two areas out of the way. I mean, there's been quite a few breaks in that area already.
We replaced it. 12?
20?
20?
Thompson Road or both?
Well, Bennett, East Bennett, Moss.
Okay.
Palmer Avenue, we fixed one over there, and then we have two over here. Palmer Avenue over there is the sidewalks. Like white chalk rock, so the sidewalk's like on 6 inches of sand. So when it breaks, the meter's inside the concrete. So when it breaks, it just washes out all the sand on the sidewalk. So eventually, we're going to have very solid, we're going to be replacing all the sidewalk with that street. The cost on that could be pretty high.
Might be,
is this money that can be reclaimed through that program?
Right. The lawsuit?
Yeah.
Right.
The idea of hiring extra guys, we have the tools to do it. But the tools we got are working to replace the ones over here, so we have to double up on our tools and double up on the crew. The biggest problem we're having right now is we're trying to get quality of water. We need to flush our system. So it's time to give our guys a break so we can get caught up on some of our maintenance that we need to do.
We haven't done any sleeving to date, though, with copper, have we? Replacing any of these lines, we haven't sleeved any with copper.
I think we've done one. You know, the tool to do it, it's only like $500. You know, that pulls it through, it just splits the PV and it pulls the copper and goes through it. So the cost of that tool is not much. It's the timing.
Well, one thing I'm saying is when I was on vacation, it just happened that the city of Pittsburgh has the same problem with gas lines.
And those are a little more explosive.
No, but true. But still, it's the same thing. They're 150 years old, and they had a crew of guys, two guys, I think, and a machine. And after you do 100 of those, you get pretty slick at it. And they just went out there, and they were just bapping them out, just the whole street. They weren't just waiting for them to break. They did the whole street. That's why I was wondering if we put on a part-time guy and bought the equipment, would it be cheaper for us just to, like he said, do the whole street rather than wait till it washes on the sidewalk?
Well, we usually have one break in one a day. So when, like this morning, we had one break. So we just fix all the other ones that are in that area. You know, so we dig one hole. If there's one on the other side, so we fix it. So we'll see what the night brings, and we'll see what we're working at tomorrow.
If we go out and get some bids, you know, send out an RFP and get some bids back, then we can possibly address Director Blair's concerns, because we can do a little cost-benefit thing, figure out how many hours it would take for our own boys to do it and buy the equipment.
The problem is...
Women,
what I'm hearing is they don't have time to be doing it.
Well, see, that's the problem. Lee brought up is we start washing out sidewalks and everything else and make the repairs, and then we have to come back. And right where I live in Rio Grande, James Way, the storms wash out all the sands and sidewalks, and that sidewalk looks like a roller coaster. That gets major expense to repair. You have to jackhammer all out and come back with all new bays and four new sidewalks.
Well, particularly when you do a piecemeal, one here and then one up the street and then three over here.
Yeah, the object is to get rid of the total subdivision in one time.
If you broke 12 in there,
these things over here they're only what, 7 years old?
Right.
You know, it's just
what's it cost to have it done? Because, like Alex said, I tell my wife, I haven't got time to work on the stove, yet when I get a bill for $200 for some guy to come out and work on my stove, then I figure out maybe I could have done it myself. And that's basically, that's basically the same thing I'm looking at here.
You have 1,800 stoves.
And every time you call some guy out, it's usually on a Saturday, and he's going to charge you the premium too, so it's not going to be much different than our own people making overtime. Pay it to somebody we don't know.
I've heard them say they don't want overtime. Because they're already...
They've got enough overtime.
They don't want it anymore.
Well, maybe we hire another person.
But
people
that do this kind of work...
hire somebody on a temporary basis just for that purpose and put them out there and have them do it.
This might be a special effect to do. We can a lot of headache and heartache from that.
I just want to put it one in each hand. Just go like that one. See whatever's cheapest.
What I'm hearing is the staff is that they need some help right away in getting this done and not letting it occur randomly. And I think they've already made the calculation and the judgment that it's expensive for them to go to the contract that often. So I don't see what the
question is, or what the debate's about.
No, I see what the cost is.
Well, at this point, what we're doing is considering a request for bid proposals, and nobody's against that.
Yeah.
Cool. So, is there anything else you wanted to add, Mr. Jones, before I go to the audience for more?
I think if we put a part-time person on it, our costs are about, what, $30,000 a year? Get two of those on. The problem is when you get temporary people on the crew and everything else, sometimes other things take precedence, so you don't get full value out of it. That's one thing we're finding right now.
Okay.
Well,
We leave that up to you to make your expert judgment. That's why you are the general manager. So we definitely honor your request to the best of our ability. Are there any other questions or concerns out there in the audience on this issue, the repair of water services? Anything you want to ask of the board before we consider any motions? Okay, it looks like a motion before the board then might be something along the lines of should we send out this RFP for bid proposals? Any directors want to make a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, I have a motion by Director Simon and a second by Director Blair that we issue the request for bid proposals regarding the repair of water services. All directors in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, nobody's opposed. Motion passed unanimously. Item number five, this is architecture for the new office building. Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, the district has been looking for, I don't know how many years, about investigating the possibility of building a new office structure on the property they own across the street from this site. Staff has reviewed several floor plans, investigated other buildings and public entities, and a couple months ago we had a meeting with the Special District Association at Heritage Ranch Community Service District, and we reviewed their building, asked for their plans, which they've submitted, and we looked them over, and it seems like their building with the slight modifications would meet the needs of the district. contacting their architect, Barry Lorenzo Williams, who designed the building for Heritage Ranch, he said that there would be some savings in the aspect of using specifications and similar structures, et cetera. He would have to update them because I think some of the building codes, et cetera, have changed since the Heritage Ranch building has been built. And based on that, in your packet is the layout floor plan of the Heritage Ranch building. And what I did is basically use the same floor plan. The Heritage Ranch had a very large overhang in the front, which those square posts are in front. And what this building, and talked to the architect, is that we'd move that wall out to those posts and therefore make a greater utilization of the space and still maintain the structure stability of the existing building. And so you gain on about 700-800 square feet by doing that with no major change in the structure. And then came up with a conceptual design of the building for the district, adding a conference room and some storage space because of the additional space by adding moving that one wall out to the other post. Mr. Williams has put together a proposal to come up with some design concepts and construction drawings of which around $15,000 to $20,000 range would be the price to prepare the schematics, get the board approval, and then all the building plans and approval from the county.
That would include blueprints and stuff too, right?
Right, it's ready to go out to it.
As-built drawings or specs for as-built.
Right. This would not include any off-site, it would include from the curb and gutter back on top of the site, including an irrigation plan, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Can I ask a question?
Certainly.
We got that existing building over there across the street, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, are we going to have problems with the county trying to get a permit to build this thing? Or,
it shouldn't be.
Or would it be easier just to... Technically, what they call modify the building across the street, which means you leave in a piece about this big square.
The guy in Santa Maria across the street from Wallet Park knocked down his entire house except the small little room that went around the water heater.
That's it.
And then built it.
around it.
So, what would be, would that be...
it's a remodel.
Would that be a more advantageous way to go, permit-wise and whatever?
I'd have to investigate that.
Well, that'd be something to look at.
I don't know if we can do that as a public commercial building.
Permits, the general structure is that a permit for a remodel is about 1.5 times the cost of a permit for a new structure. So it would cost you about 33% more to...
Oh, I'm just asking.
Yeah, well, now you got the answer.
Didn't Carter say he got permits?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Public avenue or something.
How would you describe the current style? I haven't seen the Heritage Ranch building. We're suggesting potentially trim changes as well, different facade or something.
Yeah, the architect would come in with two or three different concepts and everything else. And also, if in his proposal he said he had a couple concepts across the street, and if the board wanted to revisit the county 1 acre parcel, he could come up with a concept over there.
Okay.
Now, the county is in a very talkative mood if the district wants to revisit the 1 acre parcel of trading water for the site. They would be very interested in doing that.
Where's the other, where's the 1 acre over on the main street?
It's it's right where the library is, right next to our building. It goes from this street over to Tech Street.
Built right over the railroad track easement.
This side of the railroad track.
As part of the what's in the Williams letter here, he said that in the initial $2,000 cost of, I guess, the consultation and the planning stage and some schematic site layouts and whatnot, he was going to address time frames for fees and permitting and all that type of thing too. So he might well answer a lot of our questions as far as this. What's involved in the expected timelines and permit costs. That $1,500 to $2,000 is separate than the $15,000 to $16,500, I guess.
Yeah.
Probably looking at maybe $18,000 total.
Yeah, $15,000,
$20,000. That's ready to start building, right?
Those were the modifications that you suggested, that mainly bringing out that front area to protect the stuff. Because he mentioned some alterations that he suggested that he didn't define enough. I didn't know what he'd ask for.
Well, I'd ask moving that wall out to the pillars, and he agreed with me that structurally that's what the building up there is already that way.
Yeah.
And they just moved the wall inside. Heritage Grant has a different climate than we do, and so therefore they moved in to get some shade in the summertime.
Is there a ballpark figure on what it cost to build it?
Probably $7,500 a foot, square foot.
How many square foot?
I think it's around $3,500, $3,700.
I had one suggestion on the storage layout right now that's currently drawn.
Mm-hmm.
Both our little drawing and then the copy of the blueprint. The storage areas on opposite corners of the building, is that something we want to look at maybe changing, or is that desirable for some reason? I don't know why we have storage in two different areas.
Well, the reason they have it there is the storage where the meeting room is. They put all their chairs and tables in there, and that storage is for the meeting room.
Okay. Meeting room only. There might be a projector or something in there.
Right.
Movie screen. That makes sense, right? And then a larger story area maybe be for files or not.
Right, and stuff like file up there in the corner.
And I noticed there's two restrooms in this layout. There's at least two. Double basins and all that. That'll make the
So what do you need?
Well, that's the info we've got from staff.
If
that's the bathroom.
if the board wishes to, have a motion to have staff go ahead and negotiate a contract and come back to the board.
Okay. Let me ask one more question, and we'll go out here before we do that. The errors and omissions insurance issues. We were sticklers on that, on Gary and Taylor and Associates for engineering design work and whatnot. It sounds like Mr. Williams is not agreeable to getting it on his own, that if he's already priced it, and if we're going to insist on errors and omissions insurance, he basically wants us to pay for his policy for 2 years. Is there any way to negotiate a portion of that? I mean, surely we're not the only. He said he's been asked for it once in his career, but it wouldn't it be unreasonable for the district to bear full cost of errors and omissions insurance with him for 2 years, for which he might use for other clients?
Well, there are two things there. I would, without investigating, I would suspect that an errors and omissions policy would be site specific. In other words, it would just be for this one project. Secondly, recollect we did some research in-house on the last time we started looking at architects for the building, and we discovered, just like what he has pointed out, it is more common than not that the architects do not have errors and omissions. I mean, that seems to be the standard way they operate, where engineers is more likely that they do have errors and omissions policies. I think it has probably has to do with the cost and the exposure to liability. I don't know. I suspect our architects are probably somewhat less than engineers. And so we, from a legal point of view, we were satisfied that that making a demand for or not having a demand for a malpractice insurance or errors and omissions policy would be reasonable, or it would not be unreasonable not to require it. I guess
he runs the risk, though, really, not us, simply because if he does something that is an, creates an error, then he's responsible, or he's going to a court, obviously.
Right.
Yeah. So he himself, then, if he feels that he doesn't have a good program, should bear the cost of the errors and omissions insurance. I'm sure he knows that.
Yes. The only difference is that if you have... if you have a loss at the architect's level, it's bound to be a significant loss, number one. The project, the total project's $300,000, or that's what I think kind of estimating that it would cost.
$300,000 to $400,000.
So that's the district's potential loss. Now, whether or not this particular architect of this firm has $400,000 worth of assets is, you know, the next question.
Right. New house.
We'll see what he drives up. Make a determination. But you also have, as a matter of things, is an architect's work is goes to the building department, plan checks and everything else. So it will meet code. I mean, that's the general.
He also mentioned that most of the problems do arise in the designing, well, actually building the building or structures. That's where those problems come out, errors, emission off, so that's put a beam up here or something. And I asked him,
the nature of the service is different.
He must have a history of doing good jobs, or he wouldn't have done that heritage program. And certainly he's done a great number of others in the years that he's been in the business. If he hadn't done a good job, by now on some of those, they would be history. They wouldn't have fallen down.
Isn't it likely that if you insist on it, it's going to show up
on our
full size anyway?
40%.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah,
either out in the open or embedded.
Hey, yeah, another $3,000, which is
a year.
For
2 years,
you're saying. So maybe $6,000.
That's
about $20,000.
That's 40% of the project.
Right.
With Garrett and Taylor, what his insurance wasn't 40% of the project.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we need a motion along the lines of, let's see, well, you guys can come up with creative wording, but we're considering
directing staff to go ahead and work up an agreement with the architecture and fees and bring it back to the board.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we have staff negotiate with the architect to start the preliminary process, whatever is needed to get our building laid out and ready to submit to the county.
Okay. A motion by Director Blair and a second by Director Burbank. All directors in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, nobody's opposed. Item passing unanimously. Item number six is regarding the SCADA system. Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, at the last board meeting, the Honorable Board authorized staff to negotiate a contract with Process Instruments providing the software and integration for the district SCADA system. Encloses a draft agreement and for the board's review. And the district is working with Process Instruments, and hopefully we can proceed on this matter. They indicate that they could probably finish this project up in 90 days and anticipate it online before Christmas. The total package includes integration, the software, and 1 year of support. Actually, it's 15 months of support for $11,500. There's one option that we ran across that we have some software already on the PC Anywhere remote. Whether we, if we can use our software, we will not buy that. If we can't, we will buy another. It's only $115.
Right. That's pretty cheap. I have a copy of it at my office. Okay. Anything else you want to add? I had one or two.
I just make one correction. On the resolution, paragraph 3.
Okay. Our resolution? Okay.
We're still working out our... this is one of the first documents we've done with our new modem transfers. There's two corrections. I guess up in the title of the resolution, there should be progress instead of progress.
No, it said it should be process.
Process, okay.
Instead of progress, right.
Process. And then paragraph 3 of the resolution says should be R authorized instead of B authorized. B is not an action verb. Yes, I was. Sixth grade. For 10 years.
You should see them now, eh?
Okay, I had a couple of little things on the on page 8 of the consultant services agreement. We're on section 11, in the second paragraph. There's just a real tiny typo. We need to correct the word "thaw" there. That's very tiny. Let's see. It's down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9 lines from the 11. Right now it just says TH.
Yeah.
That's tiny. And then one more thing. One more thing on the Exhibit A, the scope of service. Now, apparently this is provided by Process Instruments, right?
Yeah,
it looks like
their
font, or they submitted anyway for our consideration. The extended support service, it reads like for 12 months we're going to have technical support, and we can get current version software upgrades. But I think in our resolution, since it's not specifically said, I'm thinking somewhere around, I'm skipping back to our consultant services agreement now. On page 7, possibly in the ownership of materials area, you can give me your opinions on this, that we should say something along the lines, it shall be documented that the district shall be the registered / licensed owner and user of the software, and the district should be entitled to any benefits associated with that assignment.
Okay.
Which just discounts on upgrades and all that stuff. That's probably the way he's going to set it up anyway, but just when we receive the software that we are the registered user, he's not. So in 12 months when the 12-month agreement's up, we get solicitations for the software upgrades directly, and we don't have to work through them.
Can you give us that language one more time, I suppose?
That was just district. It shall be documented that the district shall be the registered / licensed owner and user of the software. And be entitled to any related benefits associated with that assignment. Something like that. You can change it to your heart's desire, but...
It sounds like you know what...
The point being is there's always a registered software package, and I didn't want it to be him when he leaves. And he probably will do that naturally anyway, but it doesn't hurt for us to have it in our agreement. It doesn't guarantee.
Sounds good.
Some don't. Automatically.
Okay. Thank you. That might come into effect. It might be useful.
This is additional training at $65 an hour.
$65 an hour is a good price enough.
Do we have to provide transportation or allowance too, or is that just flat $65? Is there a minimum?
Over and above the limit here.
Is there a minimum, like 4 hours?
No, basically, but they, for that cost, they do the whole thing, operation grading and training, and if we go beyond the training timetable, then that's charged.
Is that high?
No.
Any other concerns or questions regarding the agreements presented before us tonight?
What does installation mean?
That's the name of the company that makes the software.
Yeah, it's just their trade name.
Like IBM.
Okay.
Any questions or concerns from the audience on this matter? On this matter, we, as pointed out by our general manager, that on the October 18th meeting, we directed staff to negotiate with Process Instruments, and we've already selected them as a firm, so this is just the resolution, the contract agreement with them. Any questions or concerns? Okay, if the board's comfortable with it, I'm sure I'll entertain a motion that we adopt the resolution and accept the attached agreements, services agreement.
I so move.
I have a motion by Director Simon. Do I have a second? And a second by Director Mendoza. This will be Resolution 95-563, a resolution of the Board of Directors in the Pomo Community Services District approving the contract for SCADA software services and process instruments. Let's have a roll call vote.
Director Simon?
Yes.
Director Mendoza?
Yes.
Director Blair?
Yes.
Fairbanks?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, resolution is passed. Now let's go on to item number 7, the Water Resources Advisory Committee members. Mr. Jones.
And Mr. President, we received a letter from George Gibson, who is the Assistant Secretary of the Water Resources Advisory Committee, indicating or informing the district that on an annual basis that members to this advisory committee are appointed by the body. And he would like the recommendation from the district to them first part of the next month so that they can take it to the Board of Supervisors to reaffirm or affirm new members to the Water Advisory Committee. Presently, the manager, myself, and the administrative assistant, Lisa, are our members. Mr. Blair has expressed some interest in the thing, has been attending some of the meetings, and it wouldn't hurt Lisa's at all having Mr. Blair as the alternate member.
You wouldn't mind serving?
No, I'd like to kind of like
the time to
kind of like to nominate myself.
Right. No problems with Bob being up there.
Does yeah, I can get off every Wednesday, first Wednesday of the month, and I work 4:10, so I can, and that's a board meeting day here and anyhow, so I just assume that Wednesday, that Wednesday.
And normally you would attend that
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
And, but of course, you can attend and Mr. Jones whenever you want. And
yeah.
Of course, if Mr. Jones can't make it, then make a special effort to be there. But, oh, that'd be great. Any board comments or suggestions? Any heartfelt disgust by staff? And no opposition then? You don't mind? We're not stripping you of your dignity or anything.
Not
at all. Okay.
With open arms.
Any questions or comments from the audience on this matter regarding appointees to the Water Advisory Committee? Okay, and the chair will entertain a motion that we notify the county that our primary member will be Mr. Jones. He'll be the member, and our alternate member will be Mr. Blair. Do you have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we go for instead.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Yeah, second by Director Simon. All directors in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, nobody's opposed. Motion passed unanimously. Item number 8 is the district rate study. Mr. Jones.
Hey, Mr. President, at the last meeting, the board authorized going out to request for proposals and for studies of the water and sewer rate studies for the district. We sent out 8 proposals. We received 5 of the proposals back. The price ranged from $13,900 up to $39,900. And staff has reviewed them, and we feel comfortable with the low proposal. It's possible that maybe the board wishes to appoint a committee to review the proposals. We have 3 copies of each, and basically these are what the documents look like if you want to read through each of the documents. And so it'd be up to the board if they wish to establish a review committee or just proceed on staff review.
You have 2 different spellings for Mr. Locke or Mr. Look.
It's L-O-U-C-K.
Okay. Mr. Locke down below on the end of paragraph 2.
How come Boyle Engineering is so expensive?
They teamed up with another firm and put the proposal together.
Because they got half our data anyhow. You'd think that they'd come in a little under everybody else.
Well, they have the dollar amount like anybody else. Whoever's doing the study would just take the board report and look at their recommendations. And that's just a minor portion of it. You're looking at the capital improvements. Basically, the rate study is looking at all of the users, what type of users you have, what the fees are presently, what the cost of operating those fees, and then putting it all together.
So what I'm saying is if you got 2 people that don't even know us, don't have any of our figures, don't have anything, and they're about half of what Boyle Engineering is supposed to be. Or our guys.
It's because Boyle Engineering hired a couple of accountants to come in with them on this, probably.
I don't know.
They have the water in the engineering.
I understand that, but I mean, you would think if they want our business down the road in the future, they'd kind of, you know, give us a little better shot at this thing. That's just my comment. That's my comment.
Why doesn't Mercedes 500 SL cost $130,000?
Status.
You got it.
I can't afford it.
Do you feel that the firm that we select necessarily has to have a lot of water and sewer system attrition knowledge to pull this off, or can it be just someone that has a lot of accounting knowledge? Maybe our accountants can answer that. Because I don't know if Perry Locke has any experience with water district.
He's done the Templeton Community Service District, and he's also the controller for Rancho California Water District, which I reviewed this. We just have 1 copy. This is the budget of Rancho, and I'm extremely impressed with it, the way it's put together and the documentation and this, and the unique way that they've come up with spreading their costs for different users, different elevations. I was in the office. They gave me a couple ideas of how we can maybe finance future projects.
Now that document was generated by Mr. Locke?
Yeah, this basically, he's the controller of the Rancho California Water District, and basically he put the budget together.
Okay.
And has gone through there, and like I say, he has expressed to me on the phone, calling up, saying that he's not only going to do a rate study, but he's going to do a capital financial plan for the district, how to finance all the capital improvements.
Sounds like it. I just thought it was important that this person has some water and sewer system knowledge so they know what questions to ask. You know?
He did an extensive study for Templeton Community Services. That's how we got hooked up with his name. He did it a couple years ago, and when I talked to him last week, the board was having a Saturday study session, and they had even invited him back to do additional work for the district, and they seemed extremely happy with him. He doesn't have a big engineering firm behind him, but it's important.
Well, if you guys are really happy with his work and you've reviewed it,
I feel comfortable with him. Plus, yeah, that question should be in there. What's wrong with that?
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree. Any public comments or questions on this before we go back to the board for more comments? This is a rate study proposal. We have an independent firm to do it. We're not doing it ourselves. We'll be providing information to the firm, anything they ask of us. This is an independent rate study. Any questions, further questions by the board, conversation?
Basically, a motion by the board, seemed like last month, or not right. That's the directing staff to go ahead and negotiate a contract with Prairie Law for the rate study for the district.
Okay, sure. I'll entertain a motion.
I just have to add in, though. Okay. I still have this in my mind. I really think that it's a waste of money. I think it's just a political ploy to make it look good. I think that we should perfectly capable of doing it. The same add
that. You know, I had similar concepts like that until I read this document.
Well, there's a lot of different computer programs, so when you're looking at an operating and non-operating budget, this is probably
but it's methodology of how you spread the cost. It's really interesting.
Well, there's an advantage, too, to having somebody outside do it. Obviously, it means that it's an honest and a very honest recommendation. I feel very strongly that we're doing the right thing, and I would so make that motion to go ahead with it.
Okay, I have a motion by Director Simon to initiate the discussions of contract. Negotiation with Prairie Law. Right. Do I have a second?
I'll second
that. And a second by Director Mendoza. All directors in favor say aye.
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 No.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Okay, we got two no's.
You need to have a roll call.
Okay, roll call vote.
Director Simon?
Yes.
Director Mendoza?
Yes.
Director Fairbanks?
No.
Director Blair?
No.
Director Smart?
Yes. Motion's passed 3-2. Okay, the next item is the warehouse cards. This is the Costco membership cards. Mr. Jones.
I was told by my wife tonight that if I don't get that passed, I'm through.
Serious.
So, Bob Blair, get out of here.
Okay.
Mr. President, at the last board meeting, the board brought the attention that some of the members of the board have membership cards in warehouse memberships, primarily the Costco, Price Costco discount. And the prime reason that the board authorized this back in 1990, 5 or 6 years ago, and the district has been buying primary a lot of the paper supplies from Costco, which saves us a substantial amount of money. Presently, three members of staff have them, and two members of the board have them. All the boards have been, you know, requested they wish one, and those are the two members requested that they did. Staff, at many times on weekends, et cetera, is down there doing personal shopping and picks up items for the district at their own time and certain aspects at their own extent. Staff being that there's a definite benefit of having these cards for the district.
Okay, board comments.
Board comment, here it comes. The reason I brought this up, I'm not against somebody and staff having a card, but I don't think we all should have cards. I got my own little card here, and I have an entity called EBRB Ranch, and this card's for the ranch. And I can put as many of my kids or whoever I want on. I could put you guys on it if I wanted to pay the fee for it, but I don't really want to do that. And I don't think we're never going to go down there and shop for the district, so I don't think we really need a card. I think Doug may need one or Lisa may need one. But who's the third staff member that's got one?
I don't know.
Donna
and
Jackie? Let's face it, it's a perk, and it's not a very expensive perk. And why not have a perk, for the love of the Lord?
I've heard different people say that they paid for their own, and people that have not, and I don't think that's the correct way to go.
Right, but the card's been offered, that's all.
Yeah, but it, people, when they voted for me, they said, I didn't vote for you and give you a Costco card, and I wasn't looking that for that.
That's
when
why
I
ran.
That's why you went.
You no, but I just don't think it's up to the ratepayers to buy us. I can see somebody in the office. It's a principal thing.
If you don't want it, Bob,
don't
take part
in
the program, but let those of us who do want it take part in the program.
Well, what I want is a vote. That way I will have a clear conscience. Ye that who want it, vote on it, and ye that don't. What I would make a motion is that we make a motion that one or two people in staff keep the cards, but I don't think the board members need a Costco card.
Well, I'd make a motion that we all get it.
Well, there you go.
What we have on the floor is a motion.
We're in a neutral motion.
A motion by Director Blair.
If you want to vote it down, that's fine. But
let's have some public comments.
Yeah. You guys are ratepayers. What do you think?
Any public comments?
See, all the board members have a card. It's just whether we pay for them or not. Yeah, I'm just glad to have one. And I pay for it. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I don't see it as it's like Al says. It's a fringe benefit. It's a perk. It's not a big deal. It's the only one that the directors or staff have, really. I don't see this as a big issue. But
not a huge one.
For the simple reason that, you know, there's a lot of things that directors do, you know, above and beyond. I'm not even charging a penny a minute for the 7 hours I spent on a phone call with one individual last week. Yeah, so there's a lot of things that we do, and I get my shopping interrupted a couple times a week, and my kids turn into raisins when they're in the tub because I'm stuck on the phone. So I've got no problems accepting a $15 a year Costco card. Not that I would turn this position down if I didn't have one. It's just that I'm not going to sit here and act like it's a huge thing to me.
I bet 99% of the people out there don't even know and don't care one way or the other, whether you have a card or whether you don't have a card. If the majority agree to have a card, have a vote on it, along yourself, see? But
they will now. Okay, I think, is there any other board comments or questions?
We want to vote some now, so we can
okay,
say
definitely.
No.
We're going to have a
vote.
But Mr. Jones has made it clear that currently Costco cards are available to the directors and staff. I think the staff ought to retain them at least. I don't want to limit them because we don't know who's available to make their run to Costco on the way home or if they're going to Costco on the weekend.
Yeah, well,
shouldn't be one or two cards that they have to pass around.
We just focus on it.